Tuesday night or Monday night, one of those nights. I think I woke up, it was 2:46 a.m. And got up, and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I tried for an hour or two, just laying there trying to get to sleep. It wasn't working. And so then I was just thinking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and started reading some articles on being filled with the Spirit. And I read this scripture, and then I finally got up at 5:17. I remember these exactly. Here's why. Because I was awake so long, then I was like, well, I might as well read. So I was reading, and I was reading about being filled with the Spirit, and I was so stirred up about this scripture. And I was like, God, I want to be filled with the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. And then I looked at my clock, and it was 5:17, I think it was. And I said, perfect, Galatians 5:17. I think it talks about, telling us to walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit and the war and the flesh are at war with each other. And I said, okay, that's good. So I'm going to get up and pray. So I did. And as I was praying, this is the scripture that was stirring me. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How many of you know that's I was reading that. How many of you know that's the command, right? Right? I mean, the way that's put in there, there's a command from God that was so important, he put it permanently in the Bible forever, commanding us to be filled with the Spirit. So like any command, we want to obey it, right? But this is a question I was asking myself. I was like, how do I obey that command? How do I obey the command to be filled with the Spirit? Because is it, you know, I don't fill myself, right? God is the one who fills us with the Spirit, yet the command's given to us to be filled with the Spirit. So I'm like, Lord, how does that work? I was just meditating on that, think about that, and here's how I think it works. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you how to obey this command, according to my understanding. I think that the command to be filled with the Spirit is synonymous with many other New Testament commands. I'll give you some of them. Are you ready? Galatians 5:16 tells us to live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, keep in step with the Spirit. Romans 8:14 tells us to be led by the Spirit. Galatians 6:8 says, so to please the Spirit, capital S. 1 John 1:7 commands us to walk in the light. John 15:4 commands us to abide, or NIV says to remain in Christ. I think all of these commands are talking about the same thing. The command to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to abide in Christ. It's all the same thing. Now that the Holy Spirit lives in us as followers of Christ, we have a choice, right? And here's what the choice is. We can choose to walk in the new, because the Spirit lives in us. So now we have the option of, we can walk in the new way of the Spirit, okay? Or we can choose to walk in the old way, which is most familiar, of the flesh, of the carnal nature. The way of the Spirit, if we choose to walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit, the way of the Spirit is life. But how many of you know, even as believers with the Holy Spirit living in us, you still have the option of choosing to walk in the flesh and not in the way of the Spirit, right? And if you do that, what do you reap? Death. The flesh leads to death, the Spirit leads to life. That's the thing. Now, before you had the Holy Spirit living in you, you were spiritually dead and you had one option, okay? And you walked according to the flesh. But now that you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have the capability of walking in the new way of the Spirit, which the Holy Spirit himself leads us into, okay? And I'm going to explain how to do that. It's going to be a practical message how to do it. If we choose that, it leads to life. If we do what we always did, it leads to death. The Holy Spirit, he already lives inside of us as believers. So here's, when I look at Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, the command to be filled with the Spirit. This is my summary of how it works, okay? As you and I make the daily choices to walk in the new way of the Spirit, we will stay filled with the Spirit, enjoying deeper and more consistent fellowship with him and experiencing more of his life. If we make choices consistently to walk in the way of the flesh, you'll feel God less, you'll hear his voice less, and you'll see his good fruit in and through your life less. Does that make sense? But if you choose his way, you'll feel his presence more, you'll hear his voice more, you'll see his fruit coming in and through your life more, and you'll be more blessed, right? And so I think when Paul tells us, be filled with the Spirit, I think he's like, you don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit doing his part, okay? You do your part and choose to walk in agreement with the Spirit, and you will experience the torrent of his power and his life pulsating through you, bringing blessing and life and good fruit and good things like that. Does that make sense? Okay? So I'm gonna give you four ways to stay filled with the Spirit or live in the Spirit, abide in Christ. It's all the same. Okay? I'll just give them all to you right now. Here's the answers. Here's how to be filled with the Spirit. Number one, talk to the Spirit. And I'll talk a little bit about each one of these. But number two, think like the Spirit. Number three, talk like the Spirit. So it's not just talking to him like number one. You got to talk like him. And number four, obey the Spirit. So when you're reading in the Bible and you read things like keep in step with the Spirit, abide in Christ and you will bear much fruit. You can do nothing apart from me. You know, when you read these, this is like, how do I do that? You need to be thinking, if I make it a conscious effort to talk to the Spirit consistently, to think like the Holy Spirit, to talk like the Holy Spirit, and to obey the Spirit, I am obeying the command. I am remaining in Christ, and I'll experience his love, his life, and his blessing more fully. Amen? So, let's go through it. Number one, how to be filled with the Spirit. Talk to the Spirit. Our goal is to practice the presence of God 24/7. I think this is one of the most life-giving disciplines. There was a time in my life where it really started clicking for me about consciously practicing staying in tune with the presence of God all the time. When I was I got saved in the church I was in Alabama. I was young before I even went to college. I remember one day my pastor preached a sermon on this type of thing, just staying in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, our relationship with him. And he gave this illustration. He's like, you know, when my wife and I really looked up to my pastor. And he's like, my wife and I, when we were dating, you know, we always loved to be together. But then, you know, we were dating and, you know, you have to say goodbye at some point, right? And go to your respective homes. And he says, but what was awesome is that when we got married, we get to be together all the time. And then he said, it's like that in our relationship with God. It's like, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit now, when you're born again, he lives in you. He's with you all the time. He's with you all the time. And so we need, though, to be mindful of that, that there is never a moment of your life that the Holy Spirit's not with you, ever. When you're mad, glad, sad, or anywhere in between, when you're tired, he's right there with you, and he's never tired, and he's always there. And you can actually, if we stay mindful of the fact that he's always with me, and then engage him in conversation continually. I remember my pastor was like, make it a goal. Talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. I remember I was so excited. Like the next day, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk all the time with God. And it was weird at first. And I'd be going through my day, and I'd just be like, God, I love you. I praise you. I'm like, what do we talk about? I'm going to give you some hints here in a little bit and how that works. But I remember when I was in Bible college, I had this fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit at the Brownsville Revival. And I remember I started learning. I was a custodian, and I would work 4 hours a day sweeping floors. And I would have the most wonderful communion with the Holy Spirit during the 4 hours that I'd be sweeping floors. I love that job. It's still one of my favorite all-time jobs ever. Because I had so many encounters with God. And I remember just that season of my life, I'm like, I want to feel you all the time. And I've not done it yet. I've not got to that point where I feel God 24/7, but it's my goal. And it honestly, it doesn't throw me off too bad. You know I get tired. I don't feel God. I know he's still with me and he loves me. But I started consciously thinking like that. I don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. I want, if he's going to be here and I'm going to be here, we might as well talk, right? We might as well build our relationship. And so I want to encourage you. I think the best way to abide in Christ, to remain in the Spirit, is to talk to him. Make it a goal to talk to him 24/7. I'm going to give you some of my best practices for staying in continual conversation with the Holy Spirit. First of all, worship him and thank him continually. I think that's one of the easiest ways. Actually, it says, let's read Ephesians 5:18 in context. You ready? Again, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then what's the next verse? Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and what? Spiritual songs. Sing and make music where? In your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks, there it is, to God the Father for everything. I mean, literally everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for that fence. Now, some of these things sound silly, but they're actually, you practice and you live like this, and it actually, you start thinking more like him. You get in tune with him more, and you your emotions line up with him more as well. Living in continual gratitude is one of the best ways. And so walk around thanking the Lord. You know, this morning I was tired. And I'm still tired. And because, you know, I had a long weekend. I'm happy but tired. And I was here, and I'm like, okay, you know, I just got to get in tune with the Holy Spirit. And, like, I'm trying to sing songs, but singing songs isn't working for me because I'm too tired to sing. It takes energy to sing. And so I'm doing this, and you know what I started doing? Is I just started thanking the Lord that he's not tired. So I'm like, Lord, I thank you that you're not tired. I mean, I'm tired. I got a huge day. I got, like, 4 appointments today, and which I'm looking forward to every one of them. And I'm exhausted going into it. But I was like, Lord, I thank you that you're not tired. You're never tired. I might thank you right now. You're managing the universe, and it, you know, the stars are in their proper place. The sun is shining just like you command it to. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're managing the nations right now. Today, I thank you that today you're active, drawing people to yourself, and you have no lack of joy or lack of energy or lack of focus whatsoever. And as I started thanking him, I started feeling life in his life and energy inside of me. I really did. So this is a key to talking to the Spirit. It's like, what do I talk to him about? Just find something to thank him for. There's so much. Thank you that my heart beats right now, Lord. Now, these are actual things. I do this. You know, it sounds silly. But, hey, aren't you thankful that your heart is beating? Well, tell him. Seriously. I don't think we thank him enough. And what I've discovered is when I really practice this, sometimes I get overwhelmed by the measure of blessing that I have in my life. Because there are so many things. I don't have time to thank him for all of it. And you just try to do it. Thank you that I'm alive right now. God, I thank you for my hair. You know, this is going to sound silly, but I'm saying it on purpose anyway. Are you ready? The other day, I was like, Lord, I thank you for my body. Now, I'm not, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. I'm slightly not there, almost. I'm kidding. But I was actually serious. You know, I'm like, Lord, I thank you for my body. I love my body. God, I thank you that my body works good. I thank you that I'm able, because I knew I was going to have a workout that day. I was going to be able to run. I was like, I thank you that I can run. God, I thank you for the pleasure that I have in running. And Lord, since I'm going to be running, let's do it together. Would you bless my running time so that we can have great conversation and my spirit gets built up at the same time? It's like, Lord, thank you for my sweat. Thank you that my body cools itself off and that you made itself to work like this. It just sounds weird, but it's not to God. And talk to him about things. Aren't you thankful that you sweat? Not always, right? I'm thankful, you know? And I say that because some people are like, oh, I would never say I love my body. Why not? I was like, God, thank you that you made my body the way you made my body. So, you know what we do most of the time is we compare ourselves to others and then complain about our bodies. Is that, that's called walking in the flesh. And that we have a choice, right? We can walk in the spirit or in the flesh. If we walk in the spirit, there's life that we experience, right? If we walk in the flesh, you're just going to be depressed that you're not like somebody else, right? And then probably the somebody else you're wishing you were like is doing the same thing you're doing, comparing themselves to somebody else. And God's like, is there anybody who's happy about the way I made them and will just tell me thank you? Because when we do that, God's blessing flows through our body or whatever it is we're thankful for. Anyway, so talk to the Spirit. Secondly, talk with him about what you are doing and what you are feeling. It's what I did this morning. I was feeling tired. So I tried the singing, wasn't working. Tried the speaking in tongues, wasn't working. I was still feeling tired. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to talk to you about what I'm feeling. I'm like, Lord, I'm tired. I'm really tired. And but thank God you're not tired. And then that's when I got off onto the, you guys with me? Just, what are you doing? Talk to him about it. He actually cares about the little details of your life. And I think too many times you just think, oh, that's so silly. I'm not going to bore God with that. Are you kidding? He longed for conversation for you so intensely, for that kind of a depth of intimacy that you would talk about the little things. You know, my wife and I talk about things that I'll never talk with you guys about, right? Just little details that don't really matter to most people, but it matters to her because it matters to me, and we're so close. You guys with me? Like, the Holy Spirit has longed for that kind of intimacy with you. This is what drove Jesus to the cross to get your sins out of the way so that was possible to have with you. So you know what? Talk to God. He likes, he'll talk with you about these things and he'll build you up about them. Talk to him about, Lord, I have 4 appointments today and I'm tired. God, give me grace and bless these appointments, etc. Number 3, this will throw you off if I say numbers. I'll stop. Okay, another best practice for staying in conversation is ask him questions about what he is doing and feeling. That's another good thing to do. So just thank him all the time. Pray in tongues is another good one. Worship him. That's good. Talk to him about whatever you're thinking about or whatever you're feeling or whatever you're doing in the moment. You know what I'll do sometimes is I'm like, Lord, I feel ticked off right now. I feel really frustrated. I feel like I'm in the way of the flesh and it feels like death. But I don't know. I'm stuck. Would you give me something? Help me get from here to in the spirit again. Would you give me some kind of thought that's edifying that I can latch onto that'll pull me out of the flesh and into the spirit again? And I start talking to God about how I'm feeling or doing. But the other thing is talk to him and ask him about how he's feeling and what he's doing. Oh, what are you doing right now? God, what do you feel about this person? So a lot of times I'll have an appointment. I'll be going to meet somebody. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what are you doing in this person's life? Holy Spirit, how do you feel about this person? How do you feel about what we're about to talk about right now? And to ask him his opinion on things because he's a person, right? Just like you. So talk to the Spirit. I think that's the huge. All right, secondly, how to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit is think like the Spirit. Now listen to this. Are you guys ready? Romans 8:5. Pay attention to this verse. Most of Romans chapter 8 is talking about the two different options. You can walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit. And it's exhorting us to walk in the spirit because if you walk in the flesh, you'll reap death. Okay? So in the context of that, in Romans 8:5, he says, he gives us this nugget. Those who live according to the sinful nature, that's the flesh, listen to this, they have set their minds on what that nature desires. Past tense. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that's our goal, they have set their minds on what the Spirit desires. You see the difference? Your mind, your thought life is like the rudder of a ship. It steers your soul wherever your thought life directs it. If you entertain carnal thought processes, you will not feel the presence of God very often. You'll feel the depression, the anxiety, the fear, the anger, the bitterness, the hatred, the lust, the covetous desires for more and more and more and more. But if you set your mind on things that the Holy Spirit likes, things that he desires, if you set your mind consciously on this, okay, you'll feel his love, his joy, his peace, his presence. You guys with me? Does that make sense? Okay. We must learn that this is so big, to discipline our thought life. To only think on things that the Holy Spirit desires rather than meditate on the things of the flesh. Generally, and this is a true statement, you will experience the fullness of the Spirit to the degree that you think like the Spirit. Do you guys catch it? You will experience the fullness of the Spirit to the degree that you think like him. It's Romans 8:5, right? So, I'm sorry about my handwriting in advance. Thank God, thank you, Lord, that I can write. All right, so, think thoughts like this, worry. Do you think that's thinking like the Holy Spirit? Or is that a carnal thought process? You're right. So when you catch yourself worrying, you're in the flesh. Now don't worry. We all do. We all spend time in the flesh on a daily basis, usually, right? None of us have perfected this, okay? However, when you catch yourself in the flesh, what do you need to do? Repent. Lord, forgive me. I'm sitting here. I've spent the last 15 minutes worrying about this situation. Lord, give me your thoughts about this situation, right? And then actually one of the best things to clear worry is trust. Trusting God, right? Lord, I thank you that I'm not in this situation alone, that you're going to help me, you're going to guide me, you're going to take care of me, you're going to provide for me, you're going to protect me, whatever it is. You guys with me? You're at work too, etc. So what about this one? Complaining. Carnal? Okay. Now, I'm not even talking about speech yet. Do you know we complain in our heads before we ever say it? Right? So what's the opposite of complaining? What's the opposite? How do I get out of complaining into the Spirit? Yeah. Gratitude, right? Thanksgiving. Most of the time when you're in the flesh, there's a direct opposite that it gets you in the Spirit. And if you can learn what the opposite is, you can pull yourself out. Does that make sense? Okay, what about this one? How about faith? Spirit. Yeah, you're right. Faith is in this category. So what's the opposite of faith? Doubt, fear? Yes. Doubt. Oops. Fear. Another one, anxiety. So when you're anxious and you're fearful and you're in doubt and you're fretting, you're in the flesh. And the command is to be filled with the Spirit. So what do you need to do? You need to repent. How do I repent? I consciously start exercising faith and putting it in the Lord. Find a Bible promise that deals with your situation and start talking to God, thanking him that the promise is true. Amen? Does this make sense? Okay? Now listen, a lot of times what we want to do, you know, I've done this many, many times. I'm in one of these situations, I'm complaining, and our emotions get sucked into it, right? Because when our thought life is a rudder, and when I'm complaining and all this kind of stuff, it leads me into the flesh. And guess what's over in the flesh? Anger, depression, right? All this kind of stuff. And so, you know what? I'm like, I know that I shouldn't be complaining, but I don't really care right now because my emotions are in a funk. I get that way. I know everybody does, but I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I get that way at different times. And I'll just be like, ugh, I know I need to repent, but I don't feel like it. I'm just going to stay over here and wallow in my little flesh party, right? And, but listen, the command to walk in the Spirit is not a recommendation. It's not a, you know, you're really going to like it better. He's like, no, I command you, stop complaining. Be quiet. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Talk to me. But Lord, I can't think of one good thing to be thankful about, because we get like that. You know, we get in a funk, and the enemy sometimes comes in on top of our flesh and energizes it and tries to hide good from us. So what do we do when we're in a situation like that? When we're in a pit of despair, I can't get out. I know I need to. I don't even want to, but Lord, I want to obey you more. Lord, give me a thought. I actually say that. Give me something to be, what's something I can talk to you and thank you for? And then you know what the Holy Spirit do? He'll drop a thought into my head. And I'll be like, oh, you know what that is? That's the rescue thing. What do they call it? Life preserver. That's the life preserver. He's like, there you go. I'm like, oh, yes, praise God. It's a good fence out there. Lord, thank you for the beautiful fence. And I grab onto the boat, and I start pulling my way out of the flesh and into the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. Oh, this is practical. This is what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. So a lot of times we think walk in the Spirit, and we think it's this mystical, ethereal, like, ooh, am I in or not in the Spirit? And, you know, there is a supernatural dimension, no doubt. There is a supernatural dimension. But there is a really practical part. And when we stand before the Lord, this is what he wants to see from us. Are you doing your part to walk in the Spirit? He's like, you don't have to worry about me filling you. You don't have to worry about me doing my part. I mean, I died on the cross. The painful stuff is over for me, okay? He's like, the easy stuff, just giving you my presence, that's what I did all that for, right? He's like, you do your part. This is what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. Let's do another one. How about, patience. Yeah. Good job, Jamie. Patience, right? What's the opposite of that? Yeah, that was an easy one. I can't believe no one jumped on that. Impatience, right? How about this? Gentleness. Yeah, it's actually one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Oh, dude. Good job. You're paying attention. Yeah, that's right. That's like what Adam was before the fall, when these were just one category. In our resurrected bodies. Actually, I was thinking, this is another thought that made me thankful this morning. I was so tired over here, and I was thinking during worship, I'm like, Lord, I was thinking about what it's like on my very best day. Like, you know, when you have those rare days when everything is working together. Emotionally, I'm on a high. I feel great. There's no problems I can think about. Physically, I feel awesome. I have no pains. I just feel energy, lots of energy. I feel excited, right? And all of it's working together, and you just feel really, really happy. And that's the days it's like sunny out in the beginning of spring, and you roll down the windows and you blast your favorite song on the radio. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I love the Lord, and I don't care who knows it. And Abby and I do that. So it's like really feeling good. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you that one day I'm going to have a resurrected body. And how I feel on my best days, at my very peak best moments, I'm going to feel better than that 24/7. There'll never be a lag. I'll never feel tired again. I'll never have to be like, Lord, I'm exhausted, but I love you. I'll just be like, oh, I love you, and I feel it, baby. He loves you. You know, it's going to be amazing, resurrected body. So that's another thing that made me happy. Okay, so gentleness. What's the opposite of gentleness? Yeah, harsh. So when you're being harsh and critical and impatient, you're in the flesh. You need to repent. How do I repent? Be gentle. Right? Okay, I'm going to give a few more. How about this? Bitterness. Okay. If you got that wrong, I mean. Yeah, bitterness is carnal. Or I'll put hatred because it's the same thing. This is bitterness mature, okay? So bitterness and hatred, when you're feeling that, what is that? What are you in? You're in the flesh, right? And it's going to lead to death. It is. So what's the opposite? Yeah. Love, forgiveness, exactly. Okay, I got a few more. Critical. Yeah. I gotta tell you the truth, this one gets me. This is one of my tough ones, is overcoming that right there. And just being critical. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, why can't they do better at that? You know, why do they have to be like this? It's critical. It's also complaining. But it's being critical of other people. It's flesh. It's you're in the flesh. So what's the opposite? There you go. From a school teacher. Not critical. There you go. What would be opposite? Somebody else said something. Encouraging. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I like that. What was that, Loretta? Edifying, encouraging, edifying. Yeah. I would say merciful too. You know, one is different responses to seeing faults, real faults, I mean, legitimate faults in another person. You can be critical or you can be merciful, right? And if you be merciful, you'll get into the flow of the Spirit. So, how about this one? I'll just say this one. Worldly concerns. Okay? And here's what that could be a lot of things in that category, like being consumed with your favorite television show. Right? Or being overly consumed with sports, elections, clothes. How do I look today? You guys with me? I mean, there's a ton of different worldly concerns that are temporary. And if you know, all of us do have a little bit of that, right? And there's nothing wrong with doing your hair and wanting to look nice, right? But when you become overly concerned and you've set your mind on that, it's going to lead to death. It really will lead to death. So I'm going to put temporary, worldly concerns. Being overly fixated with temporary worldly just stuff. Popularity. Does she like me? Does he like me? La 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 la. Temporary worldly concerns, you'll feel death. Okay? It's not going to feel very nice. What would be the opposite of that? There you go. Yeah. Eternal. E.T. Eternal. I'll just put kingdom of God concerns. Right? Paul told Timothy, he said something that was good. And one of those things was, come on, Holy Spirit. What was that verse I was thinking of? It was good. You should read it. It's in 2 Timothy somewhere. So I'll just go on. Okay. Selfish ambition? Yeah, that's carnal. The joke in my household is the only kind of fish that won't be in heaven is the selfish. So selfish ambition. And what's the opposite of selfish ambition? Yeah, generosity, serving, preferring others over yourself. I'm telling you, you want to get into a funk, get consumed with your own selfish ambition. You will get jealousy, all kinds of other of these things on this list will fester up in your heart when you're fixated on selfish ambition. But when you're fixated on bringing glory to God and blessing others, you'll feel the life flow of the Holy Spirit because that's where he's at. So is this making sense? So you talk like the Spirit. Think like the Spirit. It is huge to do that, and it's practical. And what do you do? Because we all, you know, don't, other than Jesus, nobody has ever walked in the Spirit perfectly all the time, 24/7. No one's done that I haven't done that. I'm not even doing it right now, today probably. I'm trying. But you can get better at it. And you can get more consistent at it. And here's what, when Paul says, live in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, so to please the Spirit and not the sinful nature. And then he says, do not become weary in well-doing, right? He says, because he wants us to persist in this. So when you find that you've come over here, you know, don't wallow in condemnation. Would be over here too. Don't just switch to a new category of the flesh and go into condemnation. I'm such a loser. I'm in the flesh again. Just repent. Because as soon as you repent, your fellowship is restored. Literally, the moment you realize it and say, Lord, this isn't okay with me. I repent of this. It's like the Holy Spirit's like, I forgive you. And then he's in the process of helping you get back over here. Okay? And you got to put your trust in God. You got to sometimes walk this out by raw faith and whatever the opposite spirit is. But you do that, and eventually the emotions come around, and you start getting in that, feeling that life flowing. Does that make sense? But make sure you repent. And this is what God wants us to do. He's like, I want you to devote your life to mastering walking in the Spirit. None of us are going to do it perfectly, probably on this side of heaven. But he requires that we go after it with all of our heart, sincerely. And then we repent when we don't do it. And here's the thing. The more you do this progressively, as you make the daily choices, okay? You know, a month goes by, several months go by, a couple years go by, and you're actually spending a higher percentage of time walking in the Spirit than you are in the flesh. Does that make sense? And as you keep going, we get stronger and stronger at this. We really do get transformed. But it's not independent of us. It takes effort on our part to walk in the Spirit. So talk like him, think like him. Talk with him. Number three is talk like the Spirit. Talk like the Spirit. Ephesians 4:29 through 30, Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. Okay, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit. I used to get these key words. Helpful building benefit those who listen. And listen to the next verse. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There is a direct correlation. When we get into, you know, gossip, I could put in this category. Slander, I could put in this category. Criticizing others, on and on and on. Jealousy. When we start speaking like that, we know you're already thinking like that. What did Jesus say about speech? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, a lot of times people want to they want to clean up their speech, but they don't deal with their thought life. And you'll never really deal with when you're just like, I'm just not going to talk. That's good, but don't stop there. Go to the root of it, which is the thought process, the carnal thought process that you've engaged in that led to you speaking the bad words. Does that make sense? And deal with that. That's the root. So I remember there's a direct relationship between how we talk and walking in the Spirit. And if we talk fleshly, carnal, it'd bring death. If we speak like the Spirit, it'd produce life. Not only in us, but in those we're talking to and those who we're talking about, it'll release life. I remember I learned this lesson, the Holy Spirit taught me this lesson in such an acute way when I was in Bible college. And I was feeling the Holy Spirit in a fresh way, and I was practicing the presence of God. And I remember I was working. I was doing the floors one day, feeling the presence of God really, really strong. I mean, really strong. And I'm just loving it. Like, the Spirit's on me. I mean, I'm even manifesting in my body, you know. I'm in the hallway at my college, and I'm talking to this other guy who's just encountered the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit's on him, and we're testifying back and forth of what God's doing in our life. And he's like, and the Spirit's doing this in me? And the more he's talking about glorifying God, what the Spirit's doing, I start feeling God more. Why? Because we're in conversation that's spiritual. Does that make sense? So we're encountering God more. And both of us, and then we're going back and forth on testimonies, and we're feeling God, and both of us are like, oh, oh, in the hallway. I mean, just we're manifesting even our bodies. It was so fun. And we're doing it there in the hallway. And then I remember all of a sudden we slid from this real awesome glorify God conversation to criticizing others who aren't experiencing God like we're experiencing God. And who are criticizing those who are experiencing God. Because there's always critics of revival, right? Problem is God doesn't want us to criticize them. He doesn't want us to join them, but he loves them. Does that make sense? He wants us to be merciful and pray for them that, you know, that God would help them out of the flesh into the spirit. And so, but what we did is we started criticizing them. We started being like, man, those guys are just those religious people, man. They're just religious. Da 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 da. You know, we had all this jargon. You know what I noticed though? Is as we started talking, I was like, where'd the Holy Spirit go? Like, he was here so strong a minute ago. And all of a sudden, I was just like, where did he go? And I remember I was just confused by that. I didn't think I figured it out. I just noticed it. And I remember a few days later, I was having another conversation, and we were talking about this verse. And I saw this verse, and I was like, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh, that's where the Holy Spirit went. We shifted into unwholesome talk and grieved the Holy Spirit. And he says, well, love you. I really want to hang out with you. I was having such a good time. But if you insist on going there, I'm not going to sin. So I'm going to let you go by yourself. Let me know when you want to talk about edifying things again. Right? And I was like, wow, God. And I realized that there is such a direct correlation, not only between my thoughts, but between my words and me experiencing the life of the Spirit. Amen? Number four, obey the Spirit. So you got to talk like the Spirit, think like the Spirit, talk with the Spirit, and obey the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the clear and undisputed leader in our relationship with Him. Amen? Okay? Undisputed. He doesn't just recommend obedience, he actually insists on obedience. And when we fail to obey him, this is the first thing that will happen. You'll feel conviction. You'll feel conviction. It's called guilt. You'll be like, oh, I feel guilty. It's not condemnation. You disobeyed. Repent and you won't feel guilty anymore. Okay? But he makes you feel guilty. You feel the conviction because you're disobeying. And he's like, no, 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 no. Don't think that we're just going to have this lovely, ooey, gooey, intimate relationship while you're in obvious disobedience right now. He's like, no, we're going to talk about this. You need to repent of that. Get in alignment with me. And then that sweet fellowship can be restored. Amen? You know, I know people who are living in sexual immorality and who actually have said, oh no, me and the Holy Spirit, we're doing really, really good. Me and God, he loves me. He has grace. He understands us, all this kind of stuff. I'm like, that's deception. That's not true. You don't really have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's calling you to repentance. And as long as you persist in disobedience and refuse to repent of that, you're not going to enjoy this ooey-gooey relationship with God. Does that make sense? Okay? If we repent, we feel conviction, we repent. And our fellowship with him, it will be fine. It'll be restored, like literally immediately. You don't have to put in 3 good days to prove that you're sincere, and then you get to feel him again. Does that make sense? Instantly, the moment you repent, he doesn't put you in the penalty box. He says, okay, I'm glad that you're sorry. Spend 3 minutes in timeout. And then you can get back on and we'll have fellowship again. He's not like that. It's immediately when you repent, the fellowship is restored. He forgives. However, if we harden our hearts and persist in disobedience, our intimacy with him will suffer. It really, really would. Will. And if we really persist, if we continue for a long, long time persisting in disobedience, there is such a thing where he leaves us altogether. And you can lose your salvation. It's scriptural to do that. We don't lose our salvation, the first moment that we disobey and it's like, oh, I repent. Okay, I'm saved again. You know, oh, I disobeyed. I'm not saved, God. What if I die before I repent You know what I'm saying? It's like people think that. It's not that easy. He's been fighting for you for a long time for this relationship. However, if you dig your heels in and you persist in a lifestyle of rebelling against him, you're going right back to that sinful nature. Does that make sense? That's not okay. So our fellowship with him, walking in the Spirit, is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. If you and I make the daily choices to talk to him, to think like him, to talk like him, and then to obey him, he will fill us. We will feel his life more. We will hear his voice. Blessings and his miracles will flow and good fruit will pop out of our life. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's pray. So the Holy Spirit is living inside of you right now if you're a follower of Christ. He loves you. He longs to fellowship with you more deeply and consistently. So when you're like, oh God, I want to go deeper. I want to have more consistent fellowship with you. He's like, good. I wanted that so bad that I made you want that. So he already wants it. He likes you. He loves you. He wants to be close to you. So he's in you right now. Literally, he's living inside of you right now. So I want you to turn your attention toward him right now. Just tell him, thank you that you are here inside of me. It's a good thing to thank him for. Thank you that you're living inside of me right now. And I want you to just take a minute and talk with him about something in this message that stirred your heart or pricked your heart. Talk to him about it. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd bless our conversation with you and that there would be a grace released inside of us, a stirring, a persistent stirring and reminding from you to talk with you, to practice your presence all the time, to repent when we've realized we've failed, to think like you, to talk like you, and to obey you. I just pray that we would walk with you in a deeper and more consistent way. That we would abide in you and bear much fruit for the Father's glory, showing ourselves to be your disciples. We love you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. Homework assignment this week is make it a point to talk to him 24/7. Talk with him, I should say, 24/7. You know, pay attention to him. Just say, you're with me right now. Now, sometimes we're working or we're doing something, you know, and our minds are engaged in what we're doing. And that's not carnal. You know what I mean? That's totally fine to be caught up in whatever work you're doing. And but sometimes just in the midst of that, you know, you're working hard for a couple hours and your intense concentration. If you can just take like a moment, literally a moment is all it takes, just to stop for a second and say, you love me and you're with me and you're helping me right now. I love you. And then go back to doing what you're doing. Just that will just reconnect your heart with him. And it will make a difference throughout your day just to say, I just want you to know, I know you're here and I love you. That is radical in how it will transform you. So I encourage you to start practicing that. Go for that. And don't just do it for a week. My prayer is that, you know, you just get really, really good at it and be awesome at walking in the Spirit. Amen.